is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk. You will remember Tracy Edwards and the all-female crew that won the Whitbread Round the World race in 1986, and the boat Maiden that became a TV documentary and was restored as part of a project to benefit girls in education. Don Riley, a guest on our show, has joined the Maiden again in 2022, and the sail I took on the Maiden when it was in San Francisco, a blast from the past, was an early part of the Maiden's world tour to visit 40 cities, which is back on track now. Let's listen to an interview I did aboard the Maiden when she was here in San Francisco. This is Karen Lyle with SalesPort Talk, and I am sitting in the berth of the Maiden, and we are in the San Francisco Bay, and I'm with Courtney Koos.
Good morning. Very excited to be here today.
And so, Courtney, you are a United States representative on this Maiden voyage.
I am, yeah. So, obviously, the original team, Don Riley was on there. So, she's now based in New York and was the token American in that crew. And I've had the good fortune of being on the crew this time around. So, it's very special to be here.
So, what has this experience been like on the Maiden? How long have you been on this voyage?
So I joined the boat in December, about a month after they left the UK. So I flew to Malta to meet them there. And it's just been incredible ever since. I've done about 20,000 miles on the boat. So the most miles I've ever done on a single boat, which is really incredible. Made it over halfway around the world now. So that's very exciting. And just kind of just blown away by the support we've received here in the States. I think for us, it's really lucky that the release of the documentary has coincided with a lot of our stopovers here. So obviously there are a lot of people that are really eager to see the boat because they know the history of the project and what Tracy and her team accomplished 30 years ago. And so for us to now be riding on the coattails of that legacy and able to channel it in a direction where we're fundraising for our charities and really making it about the kids this time around is really special.
Is there any particular experience that you had on this voyage that you would like to tell us about?
I think it's very overwhelming to see the support we received, particularly with kids, and just kind of to see the looks on their faces when we come into port. I think that's kind of the most rewarding part of it for us is having the ability to just try to be the best role models we can be for these kids. And I think for me growing up, I was really fortunate to have a lot of strong female role models that really supported my sailing and supported my academic endeavors and my career. I was working as a consultant in DC for a while. So I think was really fortunate to have those role models growing up, and now to have the role to kind of be that person for somebody else, I think kind of makes it all worth it. And to have the ability to partner with some charities that are doing incredible work all around the world.
This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk. You can learn more about the Maiden at The Maiden Factor, themaidenfactor.org. That's www.themaidenfactor.org.
All right, thank you very much for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. When we hear that music, it's time for SalesportTalk.com with Karen Lyle. And Karen Lyle is in studio with us with a guest as well. We have John Shannon from Ephemeral. But Karen, first, I know you guys have to share a mic. It's a bit janky right now. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Rick. It's so good to be here in person back in San Francisco.
Very cool. And John, welcome as well.
Thank you so much. It's awesome to be back in the city.
All right. So, John, Ephemeral, when I looked at it, it took me a second, and I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, right?
That's right, Ephemeral.
Ephemeral. Tell us exactly what that is, please.
Ephemeral is a autonomous collection of folks who gather in the Sacramento-San Joaquin River, or Delta, to gather for a week in July to celebrate boat living and kind of party on the water. Bring our sailboats out from the San Francisco Bay. People bring barges out. There's folks camping, and we're just, celebrating water life.
So you kind of bring everything together, kind of like a water world type of thing. I mean, can you walk from, like, vessel to vessel and things like that?
That's, yes. So we each have our individual islands, which are rafted up boats. And different islands, you can walk from boat to boat to boat. For example, this year I was on a sailboat raft where we had 8 sailboats all lined up. But we weren't connected to the other islands where you have to take small craft over. And they did create bridges in between their different vessels. There was a big yacht island that was connected to a Blues House, which is a floating clubhouse on the water.
Wow.
And they held musical events over there. But they weren't connected to our sailboat raft. So we all have our different rules.
So, John, tell us a little bit about the art part of Ephemeral. It's kind of like Burning Man on the water without the dust, right?
That's right. Yeah, folks bring out their art pieces. A few years ago, there was a really neat fire on water sculpture. This past 2 years, we've had a pneumatic human catapult where we launched people 30 feet into the Delta. Other folks put together musical libraries. There's live music acts that come out. A lot of small type art things where people make beautiful LED sails that go up and down their foresays and masts. It's really neat.
Now, what about the popo? I would imagine that there are like a lot of they're coming by looking at everything. So are you guys kind of a self-governing autonomy kind of?
We are very self-governed, and the police do make the rounds sometimes, but we've never had any real issues. The most they'll do usually is come by and make sure we have our life jackets on hand. If you're taking five people in a small dinghy, yeah, we should have our life jackets and safety equipment on, and they usually do those checks, but no issues there. Most interactions usually are with the local marinas and make sure that folks are treating all of our neighbors with respect.
This is a self-governing community, but very unique in that every island, which is either boats or barges or houseboats rafted together, basically has its own rules. And when someone comes onto a boat, the captain's rules are governing. Tell a little bit about some of the differences between the ways of governing.
So my island, I'm part of the Waship Yacht Club, and this, which is a Bay Area-based very autonomous yacht club, has one rule, which is captains are responsible for themselves and their guests. And within that, at Ephemeral, we need a few more rules because we're all there for a week. So we talk about what are shared values, what do we want to do with our island. Do we want to be a party island? Do we want to be a place where we can go chill with our friends? We had nature tours. That's not the same thing that other islands want. The Big Booty Island, which is the very music-forward one.
That's the one I was on.
Yes, they're great. They held wonderful music performances. they're more party forward, and they will have music much later. Things that Quiet Island, for example, is like, we don't want loud sound after hours. If you want to do that, go somewhere else.
So I would imagine, too, whenever you have something like this, wherever it is, there's going to be a few knuckleheaded ne'er-do-wells, maybe a youngster or some meth head who's like, now I can go wild. How do you sort of police those morons?
That's a great question. This year we actually had one very interesting individual who at 2 a.m. decided it'd be a great time to commandeer a boat, pull its anchor, and try to sail with a towel over to a different place. He used to say that didn't work, although he did get the anchor up, so we had to, at 2 a.m., do emergency re-anchoring. But we understood that he didn't quite understand what he was doing at that time, so we worked with the medical team to talk him down, make sure he was okay.
What medical team?
We hired a medical team.
Wow.
To make sure that participants were okay.
I mean, we're very nice.
Far offshore, and we want to make sure on our island, at least, that folks are taken care of, because things can go wrong on the water.
You're also located here in the Bay Area, and I understand you have your boat in the Berkeley Marina, and you have a boat partner. Tell us a little bit about what boat partnership is like and how important it is to choose your partner wisely.
Oh, thank you. I have the best boat husband. That's what we call each other. Glenn, we've been friends for many years. We actually collaborated first at a renegade party on the beach where we dug a hot tub and made like an on-beach hot tub together. Like, we are very similar in our values and what we want to be doing. And we've been talking for a while about, I joined the boat community in 2016, and he's always been more adjacent to it, but we went out sailing, and it's like, he really wants to go boating too. So just before pandemic in 2020, I was like, Glenn, let's get a boat together. He's like, okay, let's do it. So 2 years ago, we found a real fixer-upper and talked a bit about our shared values, which are we want to have boating as a hobby and something that we do, but it's not going to be our life. But it's still pandemic time. Great, we're going to be fixing engines for 4 months before we can really get it going. We're going to collaborate on like what sort of improvements we want to make. So it's really about like, what do we want to do with the boat and how can we accommodate each other? He's also 6'3", like very large dude, and our boat is not that big. We have a CNC 29 with maybe 6 foot head clearance at its peak. So he struggles a bit more, so I want to make sure that I respect his needs on the boat and he respects mine.
Couple more questions for John Shannon from Ephemeral, Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle with you. I would think that, too, this would spark a lot of copycat things, like, I don't know, in the Ozarks or somewhere else. Have you seen people, like, come to you and say, how do you do it? What should we do for our little dealio like this?
I know of a couple other communities. There's one in New York that does much even more renegade on-water parties. Their name escapes me at the moment. Mm-hmm. But they create, like, kind of DIY rafts where they in a lake, and then they commandeer each other's vessels and such. much more piracy. Mm-hmm. There's also a big Greek on-water, like, raft-up semi-festival, also Pyrrhagia, I believe it's called. Mm-hmm. And we've always kind of, like, looked to them as, like, wow, that's idyllic, because they have their big sailing yachts and they time all together. But we haven't collaborated as much, although many of our members want to go hang out with those folks.
This last ephemeral that you attended, can you tell us a little bit about the larger art projects and also the one that you were involved in?
My art project this year was Chuck the Human Launcher, which was a 20-foot-long pneumatic human catapult on a barge that we built in about 3 months in 2020 and did some retrofits this year. We essentially can – we have a hydraulic ram, which will lift folks at a 45-degree angle. We got a large compressor that we will pressurize to about 60 PSI and launch people 30, 35 feet into the Delta. We have a rescue boat on hand. We give lots of guidance on how to – and essentially, like, it's more advanced cliff jumping. But essentially, we're semi-carnies where we're giving folks amusement ride experiences.
Did you have people sign, like, little liability forms after the, before they got in? Or
we do a video waiver. We don't think that a written – liability waiver will do very much, so we more have the social waiver, where it's like, you take a video that says you understand what you're doing, and if you get mad at us, we'll just show people, look, you knew clearly what you're getting into.
And then I would think, like you say, each has an island. Do you have your own little logos and banners that you fly?
This year we did. We were the Questerfunk Island. Mm-hmm. Our top barnacle, which is her name for landlubbers, Mandy, created the name Cluster Fungal for the little growths that will accumulate on our boats throughout the event. Mm-hmm. So we had the Mother Cluster Fungal, a really cool windsock, as our, like, logo banner on top of our mast.
Tell us about the colors and shapes that you see when you're looking out at this ephemeral conglomerate.
Ooh, the colors and shapes. The first thing I think of is the just natural beauty of the Delta. It is just gorgeous. If you haven't visited the Sacramento-San Joaquin River Delta, just phenomenal place. It's just long expanses of waterway with rolling green fields. Mount Diablo is always in the distance. So you see the, like, just purples of Mount Diablo at sunset on the water. A lot of LEDs, similar to Burning Man. Like, folks come out and want to decorate their boats at night, which is also great for visibility. So Big Booty Island has just a lovely LED light display. On our raft, we have a, like, 20-foot tall tower with a green blinking light at the top. So, yeah, natural beauty during the day, and then the Burning Man-esque LED art and fire at night.
And then I would imagine, too, that some people, their whole, like, raison d'etre is, like, they wait for this, and then when it's over, they have to go back to reality. So what kind of release is this? Like, for this is, like, their summer vacation, right?
Functionally, yeah, it is a lot of effort. That is actually something we talk about quite a bit. Like, you're compressing a lot of experience into a short time, so it is vacation. And you come back, you're like, whew, I need a little vacation from my vacation. but, I mean, you just get so much living, and, like, they're always boat hijinks. Like, a lot of the fun is in the emergencies that you face. Like, oops, the currents have swept the boat with a very janky motor off to the rocks. Go rescue them. There's a kayak that is slowly deflating, as the Amazon inflatables tend to do. Let's go rescue those folks. Oh, no, we need to fix the various things that broke on our 65 nautical mile sail up to the Delta. So a lot of it is we're doing work on the water, in support of the bits of fun that we have as well.
Got time for one more question, Karen?
Tell us how people get between the islands.
My first year, which was 2016, I had a very hard time with that because I did not have a small craft. We encourage people to bring their canoes, kayaks, hopefully. I mean, motorized dinghies are amazing because sometimes you also do, like, shore pickups. But this year we actually moved locations to Mildred Island in the Delta, which doesn't have the same current as the previous location. So people were swimming as well. So a lot of ways during the day to get it from island to island, usually just small craft.
All right, and how can people find out more about it?
You can go to ephemeral.org or find us on Facebook. We have a yearly event, usually posted sometime in spring. We should give more details, but ephemeral.org has like the history and rough timing of the event.
There he is, John Shannon, alongside Karen Lyle for SailSport Talk. Tom, thanks for coming in, you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks so much, John.